Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Our latest episode, 1 hour later than usual, begins with a spotlight on New Sky Kids, the latest programming venture to reach viewers through smart TV sets and TV-connected devices. Chief Executive Officer Felipe Adams joins me next from Austin, Texas. Nashville Squares, the latest offshoot of Hollywood Squares from CMT, is directed by our second guest, who you'll hear next half hour. Back with us on Game Shows and Unscripted Fair in 2020, director Ivan Dudinsky. And we close our pre-holiday edition with What's Up with new Netflix musical dramedy, Soundtrack, straight from creator and executive producer Josh Safran. That's in our final 30 minutes. Also ahead, holiday cheer for Comcast Starz customers, NBC off CBS, and our classic trivia question. Happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you with us on this day before Hanukkah and Christmas and everything else holiday-wise on the program All About Television. First of 3 live episodes we're doing this week. If you're marking Hanukkah tonight, happy Hanukkah to you. If you're marking Christmas starting tomorrow night or Kwanzaa, et cetera, et cetera, we're happy that you're joining us right before you celebrate your holiday. 56 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. Beautiful skies here in the Big Apple. We have some great guests coming with you over the next 90 minutes, and we invite you to be interactive with us. All you have to do, pick up the phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. If you're shy about using the phone, it's no problem with us because we got a chat room ready and waiting for you. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Just put your thoughts in the room, and we'll get right to them. And while the program is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk or speaker screen. Follow the instructions other people can connect with you and with us. Felipe Adams from New Sky Kids joins us live from Austin, Texas, after these news notes. Starz customers watching their pay channel via Comcast cable systems received a pre-holiday gift today, no blackout, when 2019 becomes 2020. Under a new agreement reached with Starz parent Lionsgate, the service and its sister Encore channels will keep playing on Comcast Xfinity and Xfinity Flex platforms. Also, Lionsgate's film and TV series backlog will be tapped by Peacock, NBC Universal's mega content venture launching next April. It's unclear if, under this deal, Lionsgate will produce original programming for Peacock. The Southeastern Conference's long-running football relationship with CBS on fall Saturday afternoons appears over. Sports Business Journal reports that CBS will not renew its SEC broadcast deal when the contract expires in 2023. ESPN ABC, of course owned by Disney, and Fox Sports reportedly have a $300 million-plus bid for SEC games in play. Depending on how the progress works out, CBS may forego running SEC afternoon matches before 2023. Now, of course, have quickies. AMC's The Preppy Murderer true crime miniseries will get another run through Sundance TV January 7th. We had an interview a month ago with the people from The Preppy Murderer. You can catch it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Romance drama series Virgin River will be back for season 2 on Netflix in 2020. 10 new episodes forthcoming. At least 2 series will premiere in February over Apple TV+. Comedy Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet and Unscripted Visible Out on Television. And a TV series version of the classic Stephen King novel Carrie is in development at MGM, with FX the home if a series results. And that is news notes for today. For some time, one of the top YouTube attractions aimed at kids and families has been New Sky Kids, a very unique programming service that last week became a smart TV programming service. Joining us live from Austin, Texas, is its executive producer and chief executive officer, Felipe Adams. Felipe, happy holidays. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Simon. Happy holidays to you, too.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to have you on, Felipe. How is New Sky Kids doing a week or so as a smart TV service?
We're doing well. We just launched the platform, and it's super fun. It's something we've wanted to do for a long time, and it's fun to actually see it go live and hear the feedback that people are giving. we're hearing a lot of really great feedback. So yeah, we're at the very beginning of a new chapter, but it's going well so far.
Now, this is a chapter that's been long, as you said, long in the making. It's really a co-partnership between you and your wife, Lee. How did you two come together to put together New Sky Kids in the first place for you two?
Well, my brother-in-law, Michael, was part of the founding as well. And it was about 5 years ago, we were both working jobs that we wanted to do something else. We were playing golf one day and decided that we wanted to quit our jobs and try this film thing. And we kind of stumbled upon YouTube and kids content in particular on YouTube and started making videos with our kids and our kids' friends. And things started working from there and we started growing. So Lee got involved once we started getting momentum. Lee is fantastic at having an understanding, kind of an innate understanding of what parents and moms are looking for and how to speak in a true, authentic, real way, in a way that really resonates. And so she's come in, helped us build culture in our company, helped us build and develop the brand. And it's super fun working with my wife. So, yeah.
When it comes to the culture that the programming radiates, how do you define that culture? How is it showcased in the programming?
I'm sorry, you kind of cut out a little bit, but I think I define kind of the tone and the feel of the programming.
Correct.
Yeah. So, well, here's a few key words, and then I'll kind of riff on it a little bit. But I really like the word goodness, safe, fun, playful. We really want to, in a non-teachy way, create content that's full of goodness, that's full of here's how you work together as a team. Here's what courage and grit and overcoming and perseverance and forgiveness and kindness look like in the context of these fun stories that kids can actually see themselves in. They're not overly produced and they're totally live action. We've got a wide diversity of kids. And like, we really want to create a place where kids can watch and they could see themselves in the story, but they can actually get something of benefit out of it. It will somehow inspire them maybe to be a little bit better human beings.
You are hearing Felipe Adams. He is the Chief Executive Officer of New Sky Kids. It's the latest smart TV set and device programming service. First of all, YouTube attraction to start out with. He joins us live from Austin, Texas this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. So I'm Al Galvini live from New York. Thank you for joining us for the first of three holiday week episodes. The program All About Television, and if you would like to get involved in terms of popping a question or raising a comment, do so at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up on our next episode, Day After Christmas, we have a very unusual guest for you, the Chief Executive Officer of a unique venture called Story Terrace, who's got convincing thoughts about the best of TV this year and what may be coming next year. His name is Rector Bruning, and you'll hear him as our lead guest on Thursday's episode. And then on Friday, promise from last Friday, but we'll finally have him, the executive producer of the new Fox series, Flirty Dancing, Mike Yovchuk. And by the way, Jenna Dewan, who is the host of that show, is one of the co-stars of what you'll hear about later on in this program, Soundtrack. And you'll hear the creative executive producer, Josh Safran, of that program in our final 30 minutes. So stick around for that. Mike Yovchuk from Flirty Dancing, the executive producer of that series coming up on Fox, which have a sneak preview this coming weekend, and then premiere in January. That's all coming up next Thursday and Friday at a regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. One unique thing, Felipe, about this service is that there's a lot of scripted programming in it, and that the kids sort of act out things that we might find on adult television, like police procedurals. Like one of the shows, in fact, sounds like a Law and Order kind of thing. Talk about that show, and was it inspired by Law and Order?
No, it wasn't inspired by Law and Order, but it really is. There's just this, we really like the idea of pretend play. And there's something about pretend play when kids imagine themselves in this make-believe world. After about 15 minutes or so, their brains actually like go into a different place. And so the show was not inspired by Law and Order, but it very much is little police officers and little firefighters fighting bad guys and saving the day. And and we noticed that even our kids love to dress up and pretend and act out the stories they see us create. So,
by the way, bring up fire is up there in our chat room. Simon Apple 04. My name, thanks for coming on. If you have a question or a comment for Felipe, put it in the room and make the call, 646-652-2906. When you do these programs, how much are they scripted and how much are improvisation with the kids?
Yeah, so we have a couple of different tiers of programs. So like High Top Princess, Little Heroes Rescue Squad, those are very scripted. Not down to the word, but pretty close to it. And then we've got other shows like Kids Kitchen and Kid Ninja, and even some of the Little Heroes Mighty Missions episodes, where those are more bullet point scripted. And that requires both a really talented director who can work with kids and pull those performances, kids who are more comfortable with the improvisation kind of thing. So we have an assortment of both. And and it's part, so like as we're planning out our 2020 slate, we're going to do four kind of reality based shows, three semi-scripted, and two or three, we haven't finalized that, fully scripted shows in 2020.
And these scripted shows, where are they produced? How do you cast the kids? I know there's a lot of diversity going on in terms of the variety of kids you have on. Do they have a lot of acting credits? Do you have people that are using this like their springboard to star them, if you will?
So we shoot everything in Austin. A lot of it, we have a studio space in East Austin. And we shoot on location at different places around town as well. As far as casting, for most shows, we do casting calls specific to that show. I think that some kids have very much used our platform as a springboard to do other things, which we love. I mean, one of the things that's been very important to us from the beginning is to create a space on set that kids love. We've heard so many horror stories about the experience that kids have on set. And so like most of our shoots, we keep the 5 hours. We make it a playful and fun place. Yeah, we want them to be prepared, but we really strive to have a place that's full of fun and hospitality. And we frequently hear from the kids that it's the place that they like to act the most. It's their favorite acting experience with us. And so it's something that we really value and think is really important. And it shows on camera. When kids are actually having fun, that comes across in the performance.
And what are some of the storylines that you develop in these series? And the kind of there's moral lessons that you're trying to bring out for the kids to think about once they see the program. What are some of those lessons?
That it's important to be true. It's important to be honest and speak plainly. It's important to not give up, to persevere, to have courage when you're afraid. It's not that you won't be afraid, but face it and push through and do that with some vulnerability and leaning on your friends and community. Yeah, so things like that. Things that, you know, we as parents try to not only teach them, but actually live ourselves and are challenging. So.
And go back to the storyline. So, for example, in the show which has kids playing policemen, what are some of the adventures they get into?
Like in Little Heroes Rescue Squad, there's a group of bad guys called the Icky Six. And the Icky Six are actually modeled out of the seven deadly sins, well, six of them. And so if you look at Rancorat and Pompey and Tantrum, which would be anger, right? It's like these bad guys are coming and attacking and trying to persuade the heroes to respond to a situation in anger, right? To respond to a situation in rage with contempt and malice, as opposed to taking a beat, taking a step back, gathering with their friends, and responding in a place of kindness and integrity and truth, and overcoming evil with good.
Do you work with educational consultants in Austin or elsewhere to put the scripts together, to put the shows together, to work with the actors and the children you work with?
No, not directly, although we do have so my wife is a child development, has a child development background and has worked for CPS in the past. We have educators on our team. We have some of that, but we don't directly like hire out consultants per se to help develop the scripts in that way. No. But we do have a sense of, and are all ourselves trying to learn how to live as, you know, engaged, healthy human beings in a world that can be kind of crazy sometimes. And we're still growing ourselves, and we try to take some of those things that we think are important and we want to teach our kids, and we try to put some of that stuff in the scripts that we write.
By the way, we have some more people who just entered our chat room. Simon Apple 04. Thanks for coming on and listening. If you have a question or comment for our guest or our guest coming up, put it in the room or use our phone, 646-652-2906. What about the nonfiction shows that you do? How do they work?
Sure. So we have a show called Kids Kitchen Real Recipes. And, you know, cooking shows, and even some with kids, are kind of famous, or they're kind of popular. They get some traction. The thing that we notice about some of those shows is that what they're doing is pretty inaccessible to most kids, meaning the kids that are cooking are like making super fancy plates and they look beautiful. You watch our cooking shows, the kids are having fun. They're spilling flour and sugar everywhere. And the stuff actually looks kind of messy, but they are laughing and playing and engaged, and they're making something that's actually really accessible that you could watch with your kids and actually emulate and go do the same thing. So the idea is to that the shows would be both engaging, but they would inspire you with your kids, or inspire kids to go, hey, mom, hey, dad, will you make this with me? Can we create something? And we really love the idea that our shows would inspire activity and engagement and interaction. So
you're learning about New Sky Kids. It's the latest example of children's programming and family programming too, available through smart TV sets and smart TV devices. This is a service that started as a YouTube attraction, still is. It's got a multitude of followers and people who view that project regularly. We have Felipe Adams. He's the chief executive of the service and is available live from Austin, Texas this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Again, happy Hanukkah. happy Christmas season to you and all. Simon Applebaum with you live for the Promo About Television. We're coming your way live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, and we'd like to have you in the conversation. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And if you're listening to us the first time, we'll let you know you can catch up on any or all of our episodes this year so far. All you got to do is go to our homepage and just listen at blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. You also check us out on podcasts at iTunes, Apple TV, the Speaker Podcast app, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network at iHeartRadio.com. If you go to the latter site, just put Tomorrow Will Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you get our episodes right then and there. You can also get some of our episodes at MediaVillage.com. MediaVillage, the Media Leadership website that I write for regularly. Got a column coming out on what to watch for in terms of major developments in 2020 and this new decade ahead. So check that out and our shows at www.MediaVillage.com. I understand that this service is subscription-based. How much do people pay for it each month? And what, by the way, smart TV services or what smart TV products are you on right now?
Yeah, so the service is $5.99 a month or $59 a year. If you do a year, you get 2 months free. It's available, you know, on the web, but we have apps on iOS and Apple TV, on Roku, on Android, and Amazon Fire. And so most of your major platforms, you can find our app.
Any possibilities that advertisers could be involved, either as creating programs or sponsoring content in some way?
You know, we don't want ads on the platform. That's one of the reasons we built it. You know, I could see the only thing that I could see as a possibility is I think that there's a gap in the entertainment space where there's middle tier, like middle budget content that's not like network and it's not indie, but somewhere in the middle, I think could be sponsored by a particular brand with some product placement in it. But even that would have to be the exact right partner for us. So as of right now, we're just saying we don't want any ads on the platform at all. And we're wanting to truly create an ad-free safe space. We for sure don't want to supplement our viewing with ads. It's one of the things, it's one of the problems that a lot of the parents who we've been talking to as we've developed this have brought up as a real issue. It's like my kids are watching, you know, this video and all of a sudden these random ads that are a lot of times pretty unhealthy are shown to them and getting served to them. And it's really hard to monitor that. So it's kind of a long-winded answer to your question, but our answer right now is no.
Well, talk about what new programs you're going to be putting on your service next year.
Yeah, so, you know, we are in the spring going to go into a development season, and some of that is we're going to be taking pitches. I know that we're launching season 3 of High Top Princess right now on the platform. And we will likely continue that show into next year. We'll do some more Little Heroes. But the rest of the stuff, I think we're at a place now where, you know, that a lot of our content creation in the past has been mindful, not dictated by, but mindful of YouTube's algorithm and what it would reward. And I feel like now we're stepping into a place where we're saying, are there shows that we have been wanting to make that we haven't made yet? And what could those be? And so we're not, the slate for 2020 isn't finalized yet. And I think that will be part of the conversation when we come back after the new year. You know, our entire team is taking a 2-week break. Everyone's worked really hard to get the platform out the door. I closed the office on Friday. Said go home, unplug, disconnect, rest, play, be with your family, and then let's come back in a couple of weeks and kind of tackle these questions.
You're based in a city that has really in the last few years become a TV production center. Programs like American Crime, Lone Star, I believe the new 9-1-1 show from Fox may be shot there, Lone Star, coming up in January. But it's also the home of the ATX Festival, which has become a major TV festival in the industry. First of all, any plan? Are some of the local production talent in Austin coming to you with pitches for a popular series? And secondly, any plans to be at ATX, perhaps, and showcase your service that way?
Yeah, so the second question first, I'm not sure. I think we're looking at a whole range of events coming up in 2020, and so I think there's a possibility. I'm sorry, I completely blanked on your first question, Simon.
Are local producers, local series creators in Austin coming to you with ideas for shows?
Yeah, so, you know, we've definitely talked with some, for sure in 2020 we are going to be exploring a little bit more with the showrunner model where we, hire a showrunner that brings a pitch to us or that we kind of collaborate in building out a show. So yeah, we're opening up in January and it's primarily through relationships, and we know a number of people in the industry here in town. And so we're kind of tapping those relationships first and say, what would you like to make? And is it in line with our brand? And can we kind of wrestle it through to see if there's something here that's worthwhile for us to collaborate on? So yeah, absolutely. We definitely work with people in town.
Yeah. Before we let you go, any thoughts about taking interactivity and making that an element of your upcoming programming as you go forward in 2020 and beyond? Now that we're now in an era of interactive TV where people can choose their own direction in the show or order products and services or do other things through their television set with the remote control of their voice. Where do you see interactive TV fitting in with what you're doing?
Yeah. We've had some conversations around that. I would say that we don't have any immediate plans for that. What I will say is that we have talked about, so we wrote a little hero's book. We've talked about and started working with in the past a developer to build a game out for Little Heroes. So I think that the next step beyond our live action shows would be to include some books, maybe some games. One of the things that we've tried to do is or our desires. I don't know how well we're doing it yet, but our desire is not to keep people in a rabbit hole of content, but to allow a safe space where parents can go, I'm going to give my kid this app. They're going to have 30, 45 minutes of screen time, an hour, whatever it is. And I know that everything on it's going to be good. I can feel good about it. And then hopefully it would inspire them to go do something off their screen, right? So that's our desire. I know that doesn't directly answer your question, but as far as the interactive content, we don't have any immediate plans, no.
The service is New Sky Kids, and it's now available on some smart TV sets and some smart TV devices. So check it out. And if you want to know if your smart TV set device is currently carrying the network or soon will, here's where you go online, newskykids.com. That's newskykids.com. And the service also continues as a regular attraction on YouTube, which is more and more available on TV sets as well. And that's www.youtube.com. That's www.youtube.com and newskykids.com. One of the newest services available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, just in time for the holiday season 2020 and beyond. Felipe Adams, the chief executive of the service, thank you again for joining us from Austin, Texas. Best to you, your wife Lee, all your production team and crew. Great to have you with us, and all the best in this next year and decade ahead.
Hey, Simon, thanks so much. Thanks for making time to have me on your show. Really enjoyed it.
Same here. Thank you for making the time as well. Take care. All the greatest.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you.
Felipe Adams, from New Sky Kids, joining us live from Austin, Texas. More tomorrow, Retail Live coming your way, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you're still looking for a holiday gift, it's not too late to give a great gift that lasts all year, decade, lifetime long. It's the gift of sound, hearing wonderful entertainment. Entertainment, including great authors like Colson Whitehead, and his brand new book, The Nickel Boys, dealing with a very untold story of American history. And it's a great novel, and you can get it right now as one of three free audiobooks available to you through Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and IR Radio. And it's so easy. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get three free audiobooks, a one-month trial, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So, even at this late date, it's not too late to give people the gift of sound, a kind of gift that can transform the way they hear the world, and you too. So, for you or someone you love, get a subscription to Audible.com. Three free audiobooks, 1 month trial, customer service, can't beat that. And all you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/televised. Coming up in the next half hour, one of the top game show and scripted TV directors talks about where he's at right now and where he's going in 2020, along with the rest of the field. Ivan Adinsky, recently of Nashville Squares on CMT, joins us live after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected with the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradioandspreaker.com. Together, more than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for five smooth stones. Coming your way tomorrow night, Christmas Eve, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, a very special edition of Five Smooth Stones, Christmas Eve, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. Don't forget, Best BTR and Spreaker, always available to you 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to part two of our 90-minute edition of Tomorrow We Televise. An hour later than usual, we started at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and we're back with you for another hour of great, great stuff about the world of television. Tom and Adam, I'm with you live from New York. First of three live episodes we're doing this week. Again, very happy Hanukkah to those of you watching that occasion starting tonight, and, of course, Christmas, Kwanzaa, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if you have questions or comments for our guests ahead, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, 7Apple04 by name. My next guest is one of the top directors in both game show and scripted television. You heard him on this program earlier this year. We're delighted to have him back. His current work is Nashville Squares, which you can catch regularly on CMT. It's the latest offshoot of the classic game show, The Hollywood Squares. He was also the director of the popular new NBC competition series, Strongland. Joining us live, I believe, from Los Angeles, California, Ivan Adinsky. Happy holiday season, Ivan.
Hey, Simon. How are you? Good to hear your voice again.
Very fine, thank you. Good to have you back again. Welcome back in. First of all, how is Nashville Squares
thank you.
Doing?
Nashville Squares is fantastic. It's great group of people on every episode. Super funny. It's fantastic.
How did you get involved with it? How did you get the gig?
Well, I had done several seasons of Hip Hop Squares when they brought that back. So it was a natural transition from taking the hip hop world and then injecting some Nashville humor and comedy and music into it. And that was the evolution of the show. So, you know, we went from, you know, finding amazing talent on Hip Hop Squares, like, you know, Tiffany Haddish and fantastic host D-Ray Davis, to Nashville Squares. And then taking that idea and that concept and the visuals and transitioning it into, you know, some great neon signs, a pool table, and Nashville-based comedy.
Mm-hmm. How has the country music scene embraced this version of Hollywood Squares in terms of the kind of talent you were able to get on, and also getting Bob Saget, who hadn't done a game show since One Versus 100, to come on board as the host?
You know, Bob's quick. Bob is fast on his feet, and you know, when you look at the talent that was on Hip Hop Squares versus the talent that was on and the celebrities that were on Nashville, you know, it's that same pop culture. I mean, look, Nashville is they don't call it Nash Vegas for anything. There's incredible. Once again, sorry, I'm I'm driving in LA on a holiday, and I've got people making U-turns in the middle of Sepulveda here, and everyone honking. Sorry about the horns, but yeah, it's you know, it's pop culture, it's mainstream culture. So as much as Americana and country music is mainstream in pop culture, just like hip hop culture. So the community embraced it, and I think the key for anytime you work with the talent and with the network, somebody like CMT, you know, the whole idea there is to embrace the culture, you know, and we always do that with whatever project we're working on. Is we're not there, no one's there to make fun of anybody. We're there to have a great time and create some really engaging, entertaining content. So that is, we stay true to that and we stay authentic to that. And I think that's the key to working in any genre.
No. In Hip Hop Squares, I've seen that show on VH1. There seems to be a lot of loose ability for improvisation, and sometimes it was like things threatened to get out of hand with some of the people in the squares, or the hosts, or the contestants, or the people helping the contestants. And I'm curious how you handle that versus how you handle what seems to be a more stately, serene, if you will, environment with natural.
I don't know if it's, I would say that it's probably equal, you know, all right, sorry, now I've got sirens, Simon. Feel like I'm in
New
York.
Yeah, we got a fire.
It sounds like the, but I think, you know, I mean, look, there's a lot of banter back and forth with the squares, and it can easily and quickly get out of hand when we're doing a fun game where there's an image that pops up from social media and somebody said something that somebody else said, and it can get a little heated in the moment. And we'll definitely take a moment to make sure that everyone understands, like, this isn't a serious game. I mean, yes, there's money at stake and there's contestants winning cash, but at the same time, we're here to have fun. And I think you just have to make sure that everyone knows at the end of the day that, you know, we're there to entertain and have a good time, and the celebrities aren't there to, you know, it can definitely get heated. You have to be careful. But I would say that the Nashville crowd, you know, they were drinking and partying as hard and as heavy as the hip hop crowd was. So I don't know if there was I don't think it was as tame as maybe anyone thinks. It's pretty heated. It gets heated, and it's a competition. And there's, you know, like you said, the improvisation. I mean, there's still a lot of that we had a lot of comedic talent on the show, a lot of hip, you know, a lot of singers on the show. So, and I think, you know, I think when you add those ingredients on a show, you're bound to get some good heated debates and conversations.
We are on the road in Los Angeles with Ivan Inski, the popular game show and scripted TV director. He's had a big 2019 with Nashville Squares currently running on CMT, hosted by Bob Saget. And Songland, the popular NBC competition series that started this year, is coming back in 2020. Ivan joins us this half hour right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Bob and I will be live from New York. Request your comment for him. Make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up at the top of the hour, we'll go live back here in New York, and we'll speak with Jacques Safran. He was big in Gossip Girl. He created Quantico for ABC, and his latest program premiered last week on Netflix. It's called Soundtrack. Janet Juan is one of the co-stars, and he's got some very big plans for 2020, including a reboot of Gossip Girl on HBO Max. Jacques Safran joins me here in New York after the top of the hour. Of all the things you did, Ivan, in 2019, what's your favorite?
I worked on a show in 2019. It was sort of a dream gig for me. If I thought about my career and I thought about multi-camera directing, all of the new media outlets that exist, and if somebody said to me, what's your dream job, I probably would have said, I'd love to direct a big, giant Netflix show in the fashion space, and I got to do that. Alexa Chung and Tan France host a new show that drops January 29th on Netflix called Next in Fashion, and I'm very excited about that show. We explore the fashion world, and I got to work with a really talented and incredible producing team. Worked on that show, Robin Ashbrook and Yaz Shackleton, and really some of my favorite collaborators in the business, and the team at Netflix was just incredible, and we created a really beautiful, beautiful engaging, competitive format on that show, and I'm really excited about that to start at the beginning of this year.
Mm-hmm. And I know Alexa Chung, I remember her from VH1, which is a terrific show there for a while, and she's, for people who have not seen her, she's a terrific personality, and I think this is going to showcase a different side of her, and also just like a different side of the fashion scene.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a – I can't give too much of the show away because it premieres, you know, in a month or so. But it's just, you know, global talent. You know, there's the global talent on the show competing in fashion design on another level. And it's just really great to see these young, talented designers creating fashion in a very short amount of time and being able to turn around an entire catalog of designs, you know, in 24 hours. It's pretty incredible to see them work and see how fast they work. That was really exciting. And obviously we're super excited about Songland. You know, my partner, Audrey Morrissey, and I, we worked really hard and long on that show with Dave Stewart to develop that show. That's 5 years in the making, from start to finish, and to get that on the air, to have the success that we had last year and be, you know, getting ready to film season two, in January, February, and March, that's our personal project, and we're very, very excited about that moving into 2020.
Mm-hmm. How do you think the show will evolve in season two next year?
I think because the show has been out now, I think the level of songwriting catered to the artists that are coming on the show, the guest recording artists that are coming on the show. I think the now that it's been out and people have seen the show, I think the pool of talent is going to get broader and bigger and more sophisticated as we move into season two. And I think you'll probably see that hopefully as we develop the show and the show evolves into season three and beyond. I think the pool of talent, the writers that we had on the show last year were just shocking to everyone. The incredible skill of some of these young up-and-coming songwriters from all around the world was just phenomenal, and I think we're going to see even more of that this year.
Yeah. When you look at this year, going back to game shows, you look at this whole year of 2019 and the game show world, what sticks out in your mind about how game shows were this year?
Well, I'll tell you know, everyone's looking for their – I just finished – filming. I closed out the year working on a game show with Sean Evans, the team at First We Feast and Complex, and the wonderful team at Turner, on a new show called Hot Ones, the Game Show with Sean Evans. That's going to premiere in February. We just finished filming 20 episodes of that in Atlanta. And I have to tell you, working in the game show format, everyone's looking for their sort of viral moment. What we filmed in Atlanta over the last 2 weeks, these 20 episodes, you can clip off any 30-second piece or any one-minute piece, and you've got a viral moment on the show. And I think that that evolution of the game show, being able to just look for these incredible viral moments, I think I just found the tip of the iceberg on it. It's pretty incredible what we filmed in Atlanta last week, and I'm excited for that to come out. I think that's going to release at the end of February on True TV.
Mm-hmm. By the way, True's done very well with the Misery Index, which was on this year, and it's coming back for a second season. I thought that was a really good show, and I believe that was also either shot in Hollywood or shot in Atlanta.
I didn't film that. I don't know who filmed that show, and I haven't seen it, so I can't comment on it. But what was it called? I'd love to look into it.
The Misery Index. The Misery Index. It was with the people from Impractical Jokers. And the whole idea is the contestants
gotcha.
Had to figure out where on a scale of 1 to 100 video clips showing people getting hurt or injured and crazy or freakish things happening, where would go in, as they call it, the Misery Index. And, of course, if you pinpoint it most, the more money you want.
Got it. It'll be interesting to see where – you know, look, there's a few things that still work in primetime television. Obviously, you know, sports, competition – and those things are always blending. You know, if you look at the history of The Voice, that was a big singing competition show that took a sports angle with coaches and battles and blocks and all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think you know, I think you'll probably see more of that. I think there's, I think you'll see competition in the dance space for sure. I think trivia and, you know, the Hot Ones, the game show was trivia based, you know, two teams competing against each other in trivia questions while eating insanely hot wings. It's pretty entertaining, I have to say.
The last few months have been, I think, really wild in terms of game shows. The situation with Alex Trebek in Jeopardy and James Holzhauer, the new Jeopardy Tournament of Champions winner, Vanna White subbing for Pat Sajak when Pat had to go in on the spur of the moment for emergency intestinal surgery. Family Feud continues the number one game show, oftentimes number one show in syndication on a weekly basis, and Steve Harvey continues to knock it out of the park week after week and continues to show up on YouTube. We got the 2019 videos already, his best of year, including that marriage proposal that was, one of the best game show moments of the year. And, of course, last night we had Price is Right coming back to primetime with Drew Carey. He's got another episode tonight. Looks like they will do more primetime shows in 2020. And then, of course, the continued success of Summer Fun and Games that expanded this year with Press Your Luck, Card Sharks, Holy Moly, Family Food Fight. So it seemed to be a pretty, and then of course also on the syndication level, you had the introduction of 20 Words or Less, the completion of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in Daytime, and America Says, which graduated from Game Show Network, or continuing to do episodes of Game Show Network, GSN, now is in syndication, it seems to be moving up the charts.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think people want to be entertained. When they go home, they turn the TV on, they want to play along, they want to be entertained, they want to have fun. You know, and I think that's part of the game show format. You know, it's tuning out from the noise of everyday life and being able to just sit back and have some family time, watch family, you know, family programming is obviously massive in the space, to be able to sit down with your kids and not worry about what they're hearing on television and laugh together and cry together and have fun together. And it's, you know, that's why games they've had a resurgence. You know, people want to be entertained. They want to turn on the TV and just enjoy some time with their families. I think that's important. It's really key.
Yeah. Incidentally, CBS's Price is Right special last night, which featured the cast of SEAL Team led by David Boreanaz, not only raised $80,000+ for a charity dealing with mental illness issues affecting veterans coming back home from various situations. But also, it was the number two show of the night following Sunday Night Football, which upped CBS's ratings quite a bit in that time period. As I said, we'll have a second episode tonight. We got Ivan Nadinsky with us live. He's on the road in Los Angeles. He's joining us live here this half hour. Tomorrow will be televised. His latest work is Nashville Square, now appearing on TNT in various time periods. As he mentioned, his next project will be starting next month on Netflix, a new fashion competition series with Lexa Chung, formerly of VH1. If you have a question or comment for Ivan, our many moments with him, make the call 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Two more episodes coming your way right after Christmas, this Thursday and Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised in our regular time period. Coming up on Thursday, we will have the Chief Executive Officer of Story Terrace. His name is Rector Bruning, and he'll talk about where he sees TV going in 2020 and beyond, based upon what his venture does. And then on Friday, the executive producer of the new series, Pretty Dancing on Fox, Mike Yurchuk. That's coming up Thursday and Friday at our regular time period, 3:30 New Pacific, here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Ivan, what for you, what was the one moment of any show you did this year, what was the one moment for you in terms of,
Hey, Simon, you're breaking up a little bit there for me. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. Of all the shows you did this year, was there one moment, whether it was on Songland or on Nashville Squares or something that you did this year where you said, yes, I'm so happy I captured this moment. Yes, this is a really special thing in my career to do this.
Well, I think in Next in Fashion, when we crown the winner at the end of the season, It's a really special moment because I don't know. I think if you had watched the entire series from beginning to end, when you'd watch it in the coming year, I think it's one of those moments that's unexpected. I don't know if you would necessarily track the story all the way to the end to see if that's the person that was going to win. Obviously, I can't give any of it away, but that moment was fantastic. Another great moment for me was during Songland. We had this. It was funny. Will.i.am was on the show, and it was second or third episode. You know, he showed up on the day, wasn't really briefed on exactly what he would be doing, and it was hilarious. You know, he came in, he heard a couple songwriters came out and auditioned their songs, and you see the look on his face. And there's a very specific moment on Songland when the guest recording artist is sitting in their chair, and they hear a song. John Legend had the same moment. There's a look on his face, and you know that is the song that they're going to pick. Well, Will, what was funny about Will was, he didn't necessarily understand completely the format of the show. And so he's watching the show, and in the format of Songland, you know, the songwriters come out, they pitch their song, they either get a thumbs up or a thumbs down, and they move on into the studio to develop that song with the producers. But with Will, it was a little bit different because he didn't understand necessarily the format of the show. Songwriter one comes out, pitches their song. He loves the song so much. You see that look on his face that I'm talking about. The epiphany of like, oh my God, I love this song. I want this song in the new Black Eyed Peas album. And he says, I'm taking this song. And it's like, wait, Will, that's not the format of the show. Hold on. He's like, yeah, I don't care. I'm doing my thing. Like, I love this song. And then the second songwriter came out and he's like, I love this song. I'm going to take two Black Eyed Peas songs off of the album. I want to record this song too. And it's like, wait, Will, we haven't gotten to that point in the show yet. So it was this great, hysterical, amazing moment where Will is literally breaking the format of the, you know, of the Songland, of the show, of the series in episode 3 in real time during the filming of the show. So it was really interesting to see that happen. And those moments, you know, to see these young songwriters who would normally never get an opportunity to come in and pitch their songs to these high profile superstars, to see their reaction, you know, when somebody like Will.i.am chooses one of their songs, or for that matter, you know, the Jonas Brothers or Aloe Black, or, you know, for a movie soundtrack, when somebody gets to come in and pitch those songs and their song is chosen, it changes their life in the moment. I mean, Sam DeRosa recording a song for Charlie Puth changed Sam's life. She is now a signed recording artist and songwriter to a publishing company and is able to sustain a career and a life, her life through songwriting. And that's changing people's lives is an incredible thing to see take place and unfold on camera.
Yeah. Speaking of choice, Netflix had a series this year called You Versus Wild, which was their first unscripted series that was interactive, where people could choose the direction of the show as Bear Grylls was dealing with his various adventures. The series, by the way, has just been nominated by the Producers Guild of America for Best Interactive Program, and also with the Bandersnatch episode of Black Mirror that really started this whole trend of activity. Are you hearing from people in both the game show world and the unscripted world about whether they might take the plunge and make their series interactive, or maybe test an episode as an interactive episode in some way?
I don't know. The funny thing is, Simon, with what I do, I'm such a, you know, I'm a movie buff. I love movies. I love watching movies and getting engrossed in long format, longer format storytelling, cinematic storytelling. I don't watch a whole lot of television. I direct a lot of it. I produce a lot of it, but I don't watch a lot of it. So, you know, I try to keep my mind really open and free from other people's creatives. So when I come onto a project, it's really coming fresh from my perspective. So I don't, you know, I on an interactive level, that's a really good question. I don't have the answer to that. I don't know.
Before you go, I don't know if you're aware of it, but YouTube lately has been running viral clips from your work on Celebrity Name Game, including one episode in the bonus round where the first contestant gets all 10 right, and then Craig Ferguson plays with the other contestant to make them wonder, well, how did that person do? And then he says, like, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and boom, they win the $20,000. I have to ask, when you were doing that episode, did you ever, by the way, did you ever think that somebody was going to get all 10 right and then have to tell the partner, oh, you don't do anything? What were we already done?
I don't actually recall that episode, but, you know, I'm glad they're replaying those. Craig's an incredible host and an incredible talent when it came to running that show from the floor. So I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, and by the way, he's coming back. He has a brand new series, a new game show that he's working on for ABC that I believe is coming on either next spring or summer. So keep your eyes peeled. Craig, great. One of these days, we got to get Craig on the show. We came close. And Craig, please, come on the show next year. We'd love to have you. I met him once in person. And let me tell you, he is some person. And he's tall. He is tall, Ivan. I got to tell you. Like, hi, Craig.
Tall,
my first man, when he,
tall, sharp, very
something.
Sharp. He's sharp.
Yes.
The best way to describe Craig is really, he's just sharp. Like I said, I think the last time I was on the show, when, you know, in between seasons, you know, sometimes you come back and you got to warm everybody back up and get back in the rhythm of the format and go through the prompter and all of the gaming and where to stand. Craig would come out and just nail it on the first run, first episode back, without hesitation. There was no lag in his precision with how to run a show, and that is that's a skill. He's an incredibly sharp gentleman and extremely witty and clever and funny.
And in the meantime, watch out for Nashville Squares. It's on various time periods on TNT. That's Ivan's latest handiwork. And then coming up in January, the new series on Netflix. And then coming up later in 2020, the second season of Songland on your local NBC station. Once again, if you want more details about Nashville Squares and the rest of TNT's schedule, here's where you go online, www.cmt.com. That's www.cmt.com. And check your local listings for where TNT is available in your area on cable and satellite. And wherever you catch Ivan's work, I can promise you, it's really, really good. He's one of the best. Ivan, thank you for taking the time driving in Los Angeles to be with us this afternoon. Merry Christmas, happy holidays to you and everybody you know, and all the greatest in your career for 2020 and beyond. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Simon. Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great holiday, and happy New Year.
You got a wonderful New Year. Take care, and hang on the roads.
Thanks.
Ivan Nitschke. Terrific director of game show and scripted television, latest work Nashville Squares on TNT, and his new show on Netflix in fashion comes up in January. Joining us live on the road in Los Angeles. Now, it's time for our classic trivia question of the week, and we introduced it last week. We're going to keep it on going for another week, and let's see if we can get our latest weekly winner, or three out of four weekly winners in a row. Anyway, here's the question, and if you are first with the correct answer, you can win the wonderful book, Identify Yourself, A Journey in Bleep Your Creative Courage, by the creator of the popular series, The 1980s Night Flight, and which currently networked, by the way, also on smart TV sets and devices. Doing this, Shapiro was on a show where his first TV series in the mid-1950s. What was his last in the mid-1980s? Here's a couple. It was based on a classic Broadway play of the 1930s, later made into an Oscar-winning movie, and the movie was directed by Frank Capra, and the star was Lionel Barrymore. If you don't know, yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Answer that. Your name and your full name. For our first correct answer, we can send the book, Identify Yourself, right out to you. And if you missed the question, we'll see if we can do it before we leave you today. If not, first thing tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So all the very best, and make it go, okay? Okay. This is Smart Retail Live. We are the program All About the Tube. We are with you Mondays and Fridays, 15 weeks to New Pacific, right here. For some reason, I think we, don't tell me we are about to leave. Folks, we're going to have to reboot the show if we can. And if we do, we'll get Josh Safran from Soundtrack on Netflix coming up. So stay tuned. We're going to have to reboot the show. For some reason, we got mixed from 90 minutes down to 60. We're going to try to reboot the show. Hang in there, and we will do so right now.